In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" Dear saints, this objection that John has, it is one in which you have, by nature. John asks his Jesus, "Do you come to me?" And the answer, of course, is yes. That is exactly the sort of God he is. He is the God with us. He is the God who comes to us. So why does John object? And why might we object? And why do we object? Now, the first answer, dear saints, is something that hurts. When your God comes to you, it destroys all of your pride. It shows you that you cannot go to him. Romans 3 speaks of how no one, that is before conversion, no one understands and no one seeks God. And we like to do things. We really do. We do not like to be helpless. There are a number of things that are going on in your life, I'm quite sure, that you are helpless with. And we don't like that feeling. When God comes to us, it makes us realize that we are helpless when it comes to things spiritual. Now, when you get sick, you have this option, whether you stay at home, treat the symptoms, or you go to the doctor. Now, I think this option right here, that you actually get to choose whether you go to the doctor or not, I think this helps our pride quite a bit, because we're the ones that got to choose to go to the doctor. So you go to the doctor, you get medicine, you take it, you feel better, and you're like, "I did it." Oh, so you're the one that invented the medicine. No. So you're the one that knew what to take and how to take it. Well, no. But I did go to the doctor. But imagine this. Imagine that you are sick and you don't even know it. It's that virus that's welling up inside. You don't even know it. It's there yet. And then your doctor comes to you at your house. And he knocks on the door and he says, "Take this. And this is how you should take it." You cannot take any credit for that. And that is what your Jesus does for you. He comes to you. He says, "This is your medicine. My death for you, my life for you, my presence with you right now to give you rest. This is my medicine for you." And we cannot take credit for that, because we didn't do anything. And that exactly is the point. When your Jesus comes to be baptized, he joins sinners. And this also is the point. He shows you how to be humble. Your Jesus has no sin, and he receives a baptism for sinners. He receives a baptism for repentance. So if you were to ever think that you do not need to repent, then look to your Jesus, who receives a baptism of repentance. He shows you that we need to live a life of constant repentance, because we do not live a life of serving. We too often live a life of selfishness. Now, why else might we object? Why does John object? Do you do you, dear God, come to me? Because he doesn't deserve it? Because of the shame that he knows, his God knows? Well, that too is the point. We don't deserve it. But Jesus, in his baptism, the dove descends on him, and it proclaims to you that God is at peace with you. If you don't think that's true, you can do this. You can do this. You take your arm out, and you pinch your flesh. And you ask yourself, is this flesh? Am I human? Your Jesus became flesh to die for all flesh. Your God is at peace with you because of that. When you don't think that's true, pinch your flesh and know that your Jesus is still flesh and blood for you. Do you know how you know that? Do you know how that when Jesus became man and then he ascended into heaven, that he didn't just say, I'm done with this being human thing? Because he comes to you with his body and with his blood. God does not by nature have a body or blood, but your Jesus, who is man and who is God, has a body and blood for your strength and for your forgiveness. And he comes to you to cover all of your shame. At his baptism, he was, like most baptisms, he was nearly naked. And he was nearly naked on his cross. So that everything that causes you shame, he covers with his righteousness. If you have shame in your life, it is because Satan is calling you to shame, and Satan is a liar. Your Jesus has covered you. You are clean. You are pure. Your God has spoken that word to you. You are forgiven. He covers you with his righteousness. Why else does Don object? Why else would we object? Because we don't want it? Well, that also is the point. He comes to you precisely because he knows you don't want it, but that you need it. And he knows what is best for you. The reason we might not want it is because we, by nature, we are born with this sinful inclination to have this me versus everyone else attitude, or me versus even God. And what Jesus does in his baptism and what Jesus does in his death is he bridges that gap. There is no you versus God. God is not against you. He has given you all things. He has given you his Son. He is for you. There is no you versus God. So John's objections, they are wiped clean. And do you know how? Do you know how any of John's objections or any of your objections, any of your questions are wiped away? It is because of verse 15. Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. Dear saints, when Satan is tempting you, and he does thus especially through your mind, he doesn't do it so much through your ears, he does it through your mind, the temptations of anger and the temptations of despair, the temptations of gossip, these all originate right there in the mind. And this is what Satan does. When he does that, when you feel unworthy for life, When you feel unworthy for friends, when you feel unworthy for God, when you are especially confused with the way that God is working in this life, the only answer to your objection, the only answer to your questions is Jesus answering. For when Jesus answers, it is truth. Jesus answers John, and he answers you today with his presence for you and his death for you. And he does something amazing here. Something that brings worth to every life. He includes a mere human being in the fulfillment of righteousness. Jesus answers John, and he says it to him, "Let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." That is to say, Jesus could fulfill righteousness without John, but he includes John in it. Is John worthy to baptize his Lord? Of course he's not worthy. He's getting ready to speak God's word and pour water on the head of the one who created him. He isn't worthy for that, but Jesus includes him in that. Are you worthy for any duties or any gift that you have been given in this life? Of course you aren't. Am I worthy to be a pastor or a husband or a father? Of course I'm not. But because Jesus knew all of my unworthiness, and Jesus knew all of your unworthiness, all of the sins that he knew that I would commit in that vocation of father and pastor and husband, and all of the sins that he knew you would commit in the vocations that you have, he died for them. He drowned them in your baptism, and he gives you new life. He gives you his Holy Spirit, and he says to you, it is fitting for you and him to do this thing together. Now, Kelly could be completely loved by God without me. But for now, God says he does it with me, and that I get to do it for him. Solomon and Henry and Dorothea, they could be fed and clothed and raised in the fear of the Lord without me. But for now, God says he does it with me. Our congregation could hear the word of God. They could hear that their sins are forgiven, that God wishes to give them his son's body and his blood for their forgiveness and for their strength. Our congregation's people who are lonely, they could be visited. Shut-ins could be reminded that the Lord is shut in with them. Children could be taught the basic truths of the Christian faith. And all of this could be done without me. But for now, God says he does it with me. And that is a huge point of who you are in the Church of Christ. Because the Church of Christ, it could survive without you. It could grow without you. The church can preach to others of Jesus and his forgiveness and his peace, and it could all be done without you. But for now, your God does it with you. He and you make an us. And that is freeing. That is freeing for every vocation that you have in your life. As mother, as daughter, as friend, as sister. That is freeing. And take joy in that. Because it isn't you against the world. There is no longer you against the world. There's no longer you against God. For you and your Jesus make an us. And he does it with you. So John asked Jesus, "Do you come to me?" And the answer is yes. He comes to you. Today and always until he brings you to him forever. He comes to you to proclaim to you that he is not angry with you. He is at peace with you. He is, in fact, pleased with you. Because you and him make an us. You and your Jesus for you. You and your Jesus in every aspect. You are an us. Amen. Thank you.